Hi, my name is Bree, and this is the Powered by Hearts podcast. In this podcast, I get to speak to some of the University of Hertfordshire's most inspiring graduates about how they overcame their biggest challenges and achieved their professional success. I also get to help you get ahead by getting specialist advice from Hearts experts. On today's episode, we're going to speak to a former international student about what it's like to study abroad. So welcome to the podcast, Reetha Shafkat. So Reetha came to Hertfordshire back in 2017 from Pakistan and studied biomedical engineering. And it was in 2019 that she was elected president of Hertfordshire Students Union, a role that she held for a year. 2 years on, after graduating in 2021, Reetha created AR Consultants, an education consultancy supporting students looking to also study in the UK. So welcome to the podcast, Reetha.
Thank you. Thank you, Bree, for having me.
No worries. So just to jump straight in, the first thing I wanted to ask is, what appealed to you about studying in the UK?
Well, I went to an international student school back home, and most of my schoolmates, they were always interested in studying abroad, and so was I. And I thought I would actually go for study abroad. I was going to go for medicine. However, when I started looking into it, I just wanted to have a country that's not too far from home, because Pakistan was home for me. And it's easy to come back and forth, and also the quality of education. And I believe UK has some of the top universities. So that's one of the key reasons that attracted me. And then it was also offering the courses I wanted to do. So biomedical engineering is what I wanted to do. And UK had some good, really good institutes that was offering it. So I decided to apply to some universities in the UK.
Nice. And so what was the application process like? Because I think it's a difficult process anyway, but I can only imagine when it's a university abroad, there may be some extra steps. So what were they?
So for us, to be honest, it's obviously UCAS is the main thing, but not many people have the awareness. For me personally, it was a mix of me applying through UCAS by myself. So I did five universities on my own through UCAS, but then I also went out for an additional three universities, because the ones I applied for was like Russell Group universities, but I wanted to have all my options open. So for example, Hertfordshire, I applied through a consultant, and the processes were completely different, because with a consultant it was just basically like dealing with a human who's asking for your documents, and you're really relying on the information they're giving you. Okay. And yeah, it's just the additional steps, I would say, is like basically researching a lot, because the rules are different for international students.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. And then some other things that you had to consider that maybe home students don't. Did you think about things like, you know, the culture? Did you think about things like, where you'd be living, the area, what it's like? Were those things that you also considered?
I think definitely for me, because obviously I've never been to UK, it's only what I hear in the news and stuff. So like when I was coming to the UK, I was hearing about a lot of acid attacks on people who wear scarves and stuff. So my parents were really conscious in the area I would be going to. Like for example, London University, they were really scared like what would happen, because you're away, you just listen things and obviously you have to sort of go by it. So I think it's the demographics of the area, obviously halal food and the kind of food that you obviously get or eat back home. You have to make sure you've got some of that so you don't feel too far away from home. And I think some of the other things was like cost of living, because obviously if you but it's currency wise, it's like the exchange rates were really high. You had to make sure like you're living in an affordable area. Like London would have been super expensive for any international student to live in and stuff. So it's just there was different factors that I had to key in, like when I was trying to make that decision off university.
Yeah, I can just imagine. And so with all that prep in mind and all the prep that you actually did have to do, when you arrived at Hertfordshire, what was it like? What was your first impressions of the UK, the university?
With the UK, it was raining. It was super cold. it was still a very good impression, because the houses and everything, I quite liked the structure of like how similar everything was. I guess Hertfordshire, I quite like the campus-based vibe, because obviously with you, what we see as international students is all like videos and stuff. So I've never, you know, I never knew what universities are like in UK. So I quite like the campus-based environment and Hertfordshire, and also like the fact that it was actually quite diverse, and I could see people like me. I could see people from other countries as well. And it was not just me. I could feel the international vibe of the university. Well, that gave me a lot of comfort. And then I guess there was so much going on the campus as well that it looked super busy. I wasn't aware that actually campuses initially are super busy to make not just international students but also home students feel at home and feel like there's a lot going on. So that was pretty good.
Oh, that's good to hear. And so I guess a great segue into my next question, which was about your overall student experience. So, like, how was it settling in, making friends? Were they initially in just other international students, or were you able to make friends who were locals, for example?
I think because I think staying on campus really helped with that. My overall student experience was absolutely amazing. For the first 2 3 months, I was living in the on the on campus accommodation, and it was pretty good because my flat itself, it was all girls, but it had like people from all different backgrounds, like home students, international students, and then again ethnicity wise as well. It was a really good mix. But that really helped me settle in. I would highly recommend that to do. For any international student who's coming, I would highly recommend them to live on campus for a while to improve their student experience. And then secondly as well, I think just the support overall at the university academically, like for someone who's like new to the country, there's the academic system here is completely different to what we have back home. And I guess like the support we had, like especially at my school, which was just engineering, School of Engineering at that time, it was pretty good. And that sort of helped my student experience overall as well. And I guess the students union events they put up, it's just a really good mix of your academic life and your social life. So that really helped build my student experience.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. But the reality is that you were so far from home. So did you ever get homesick? And did you ever get to go back home during your studies for, like, breaks and stuff like that?
So I've been pretty lucky in that sense because my whole family moved just a few months after I started my education.
Wow.
So,
Okay.
but initially, I never realized how homesick I got. The first time I saw my mom after months, I actually cried, and I never realized I missed her that much.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been pretty lucky in that sense, and I did get to visit back home. As you can imagine, as an international student, it's not that affordable to go back and forth as soon. I did miss the country. I have a lot of family still back home, and I wanted to visit them, but I couldn't visit them until 2 years into education. But yes, I did. Alhamdulillah, I did get to go back and forth and visit family after my
Yeah.
second year.
But I guess, was it nice when you did have other international students who, as friends, I guess you could all relate and kind of support each other in that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I made a lot of international students friends during my time at university, and definitely that sort of did help. Because one thing that's different from a home student for an international student is like when it's Christmas, home students are going to go home, right? But for us, our homes are so far away that we're not going to travel back for a Christmas break and stuff like that. So especially during that time, having international students really helps because in my apartment or in my dormitory initially, there was like only a few students left, but at least there was someone, not me by myself, trying to. And then I guess the university put up some events as well on campus during that time, so it was something going on. So
That's
yeah,
good.
definitely having that mix supported me.
That's good. Yeah. I didn't get to study my entire degree abroad, but I went on a year abroad through Hertfordshire. And it was exactly the same for Christmas. There were like about five of us in the dorms. And we just watched movies all day. But it really helped just having those other people who can understand.
Someone, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. I love that. So you were elected president of Hertfordshire Students' Union in 2019. Why did you decide to run for president, and what was that experience like?
So it's pretty interesting. I've known about student union elections right before I came to the UK. I inquired about like full-time jobs and stuff and opportunities to earn back home with my consultant because I applied through a consultant for Hertfordshire. And they told me that there's this thing that you can do. It's a sabbatical year. You take a whole year out of your education and you sort of like run for the elections, and it's a pretty cool job as well. And then it's a full-time, like a whole year placement kind of thing. It's not exactly a placement, but yeah, taken as a placement, take a year out and stuff. That caught my attention back home anyway. But then when I came here, I met a few elected officers. They were pretty active, and I could see how they're creating impact. There was one who actually initiated the concept of multi-faith center at DHAV. And there was like a lot of like other initiatives, like having common spaces, having prayer spaces, having better facilities at libraries and stuff. So I felt like this is something really good that like just as a student, you've got so much voice and you can actually create so much impact. But obviously that I think what also pushed me more was the Pakistan Society, because before I was the president of Students Union, I was also running the Pakistan Society for a good 2 years. And I guess I really enjoyed being involved in this with students, even as talk stuff. Like you do have some sort of like connection with students, you know, in terms of feeding things back. This is what we need, and also like just like being in that position where you've got a lot of students and you can sort of support them in different ways. Like I was supporting them with, even though that's not the job of a president, like of a society, but I was supporting them with even booking taxis because I know how it's like when you come to a new country. And when I came, the taxi was costing me £100 from the airport to the hotel, and really and truly, that was only a 40 to £50 fare. But obviously, because I didn't know at the time, that was still like a big thing for me because I was spending like almost double the amount. So I even and that as the president of Pakistan Society, I was trying to help students with those sort of things, and I just realized that being a sabbatical officer would only scale that up. And obviously right now I would cater to just Pakistani students, but then as a sabbatical officer, I would be catering to basically the whole university. That sort of really pushed me with Students and Union elections. And it was really fun, I must say.
That's amazing. I think it's so important to put the ladder down in that way. You know, things that you overcame, things that you've learned, you know, being able to share that with people who are going through it is so important. And it sounds like you did that and more. And I want to kind of speak about the more because you did a few other bits whilst you were at Hertfordshire. So you were the Black, Asian and Minority Ethnic Student Advocate. You were a student ambassador and a governor. So could you just speak to those in a bit more detail and just let us know what those experiences were like?
So they were completely different experiences because as a BAME advocate, you're just a student, but like you're still sitting on a really like key committee. Like your voice still counts. You still come in and your feedback. Again, it's a really good representational role. You represent like people around you and your students who are from ethnic minority and help the university make those decisions. So in a way, I would say all those roles were very similar because they were all representational. Whatever you say basically goes towards making decisions by the university. They will factor your experiences, your feedback in, and then make decisions. For example, let's just say having the tuition fee deadlines, or actually having the exams. If it's clashing with Ramadan, the university would like normally like listen to the students. If there is a high population of Muslim students, they will try and avoid like certain key dates to be during that time, and they will have some sort of flexibility for students. And obviously being in these roles has really helped me to convey these things to the university. And secondly, as the governor was of course the best of all experience, because obviously you get to sit with the vice chancellor and the other governors of the university, and you see how the university is actually spending the money and putting it to work. So as a student, you always think, oh, why doesn't the university do this? Why doesn't the university do that? Like you want them to take like a billion initiatives. But as a governor, I really got to see that, okay, there's only a set pot of money and you can't have it all. So I think what the vice chancellor at the time used to say, that if I'm putting money towards the one thing, that means I'm actually taking it away from another place. So it was really also good to understand how the financial things sides of things work with the university, because as a student you have that blame culture, but then as a governor you sort of take responsibility of the financial spending. So I guess that was pretty eye-opening, and it was pretty cool.
That's incredible. No, and I think it helps enrich your time at the university beyond just being a student when you're able to get involved
Absolutely.
with that degree as well. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
And so after graduating then, you created your company, the education consultancy firm AR Consultants, and you help others who are looking to study abroad. So, you know, back to what I was saying about putting the ladder down and sharing what you've learned with others who are going through it, that's your day to day now. So, what's like the top advice that you give to those that you're helping when they want to study in the UK?
I would say that it's not really like beneficial always for the business. But what I see right now as a big issue in the UK is that international students are coming to the UK, but they're not really able to afford the tuition fees. They think that they're going to come, they're going to work. You can only work 20 hours as an international student. But they think that they can make enough money in that time that they will sustain their living, but then also pay parts of the tuition fees. and sort of support their parents and not have, you know, not borrow money from them and stuff. And that's literally a myth. Not you cannot do that with the inflation levels in the UK. They're not aware that this is not possible. Back in the days, maybe it had been possible to sort of make money to contribute something towards internet tuition fee and stuff. But really and truly, right now it's not that possible. So what I really give them advice, the first one is that look at your financial affordability, because I don't only deal with the UK, I also deal with Malaysia, Australia, and Canada. And we've started US as well. So it's just like I don't want them to have this unrealistic expectations. And when they come to the UK, they're stuck with debt collectors trying to chase them for the payment of tuition fee. So I think that's been one of my key advice to these students, that firstly, make sure you've got enough money. If you're going for a bachelor's, that doesn't mean just 1 year. The first year tuition fee is not the only thing you're looking at. You're looking at a whole bunch of 3 years, and you've got to make sure you've got the finances to fund that and stuff. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, like, I always advise them in terms of the university, because I feel like if you're coming as an international student anyway, you'd rather go to a university that will give you a global experience. Choosing the university not based just on the course, look at other factors, like when, because it's like really, but really and truly, when you're living away from home, you want to make sure you're having a good time and you feel like, okay, you've come to the UK, you've come to another country and you're learning. So from a learning perspective, I always advise them to look at the whole community of a university and the offerings and of course the facilities when making that important decision.
That's amazing. And I love how honest you are about it as well, because I think it sounds amazing. It sounds, exciting and glamorous studying abroad, right? But actually it's a huge financial undertaking. And so I think,
Absolutely.
yeah, it's great. I wish I had you when I was when I was applying, because I found it, yeah, so stressful. And I know so many people do. So it's great to hear that there are places like AR Consultants and other, platforms, I'm sure, that can offer that sort of advice and support. And so where would you say for a student who's thinking about studying abroad, what would you say the first steps are to take then, and some things to just think about?
I think the first steps for them are, because you said studying abroad, right? The very first thing is for them to look at which country they want to go in. Because even as I said, like when at my time when I was applying abroad, Germany was my key location. I wanted to really go to Germany because first, engineering is really good in Germany, and then secondly, it's quite affordable as well as an international student. However, like it wasn't an English-speaking country and stuff like that. So it's like really and truly decide what country you want to go in. That's the pretty much the first step I'll always tell them. And then secondly, look at like does the country have good universities to offer the course that you want to go through? Because you're spending a lot of money, right? So you might as well spend it on the degree that's worth it. And obviously the in terms of ranking as well, in terms of the facilities, if your university is pretty good for law but it's not really good at engineering, you're really and truly wasting your money, and you could put that money towards something, to a better university and stuff. And then yeah, that's the second advice I give them. And then the third step is just, of course, yeah, choosing, we only say apply to 3 to 5 universities, really like narrow your choices down, and then apply to 3 to 5 university quality applications, and then just go for the one that you think overall suits you in terms of, as I said, the area and the other bits and bobs.
I love that. Okay. So country, degree, and then research those 3 to 5 options.
University, yeah.
Love that. No, thank you so much. I feel like you wrapped a really cumbersome and sometimes complicated decision, let alone, process. You've wrapped it up really succinctly. And I'm sure so many people who have kind of played with the idea but aren't sure what step to take, they're going to really benefit from this. So thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing all of your wisdom. Before you go, what's next for you then? What do you think's coming up in the pipeline?
So the next for me is really, I believe what I've tried to do in the past and learned from it is don't try and do like 10 things at one time. So the next for me is just AR consultants. I really want to focus all of my time into it and grow it. Right now we're offering services in Pakistan mainly. It's a global company. However, our main clientage comes from Pakistan, but I'm going to try and expand it to Gulf. So the next for me is basically try and expand the same thing and make it one of the biggest consultancies as possible, like a global consultancy.
I love that. Well, we definitely want to stay tuned and follow you on the journey. So, how can people stay in touch with you and AR Consultants?
So we've got like social media, and you can obviously email us with any inquiries as well. Hopefully, Brie, you'll be able to sort of share that with somehow like editing and stuff. But yeah, we've got social media, Instagram and Facebook that you can contact us on.
Amazing. Well, we definitely will be doing that. Thank you again for joining me. And all the best. We will be, yeah, stay in tune to see what's up next for you. So thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.